We're holding on Nun Beis on the Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, now that we dealt with in the previous Mishnayos about the Chatois HaPnimius, the ones where the blood is sprinkled inside the Heichel. So now the Mishnah says, Chatois HaTzibur VaYochid, the other Chatois of the Tzibur, as well as the Chatos of a Yochid, of which you have the various types. You have the Chatos of a king, which is a male goat. You have the Chatos of a regular person, which is a female sheep or a female goat. You have the Korban Ol of a Yorid, for certain Averis, where it's a sheep, where it's a sheep or a goat, if he can afford it. And the Chatois HaTzibur, and the Mishnah interjects, Elohim Chatois HaTzibur. Which Chatois HaTzibur are we talking about, given that we already dealt with a few of them in the previous Mishnayos? Se'ire Rosh HaChadosh and B'shol Moedas. We mean the goats brought as Chatois on Rosh Chodesh and on the Yom Tovim. So you have those, the ones that are brought on Yom Kippur, the ones scheduled on Yom Kippur, which we dealt with in Mishnah Aleph. You have the unscheduled ones for the Parhelm Dovashot Tzibur and the Siri Avodah Zarah, which were dealt with in Mishnah Beis. Now, throughout the year, there are other Chatois that are brought on behalf of the Tzibur. The Mishnah and the Gemara and Shavuos discuss what exactly those are being Mechaper for, but in any case, those are regular Chatois in the sense that there the blood is not brought into the Heichel, it's sprinkled, it's applied to the outer Mizbeach, and they eat it. So our Mishnah is dealing with those, as well as the regular chatois of an individual, which, except for the power kohen gadol, are also always the blood is applied to the outer mizbeach and the kohenim eat the meat. So these chitos and rasafin, they're shechted in the north, because, like we've been learning earlier in the perek, the pasuk says that an oila is shechted in the north, and we learned by a hekesh from that to a chatos is the same thing. The kibbul don v'chlisharis batsafin, the receiving of the blood and the mizrach also has to be in a klisharis in the north. We learned how we derive that it applies to all kodesh, that it applies to all kodesh kodeshim. We dealt with at the beginning of the perek why it doesn't mention that the shchita has to be with the kli shares, etc. We went through all of that. The domon ton aromatonis al abakronis. Now with these chatois, the blood has to be applied four times to the four corners of the mizbeach. Rashi points out that earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara had learned that it has to be applied to all four corners. Ketzad, so what does it mean? How exactly does the Kohen do it? Olaba Kevesh. The Kohen goes up the ramp of the Mizbeach. Now, the ramp of the Mizbeach was on the south side of it. Ufon ala Soviv, and then he turns toward the Soviv. The Soviv is a ledge that was a little more than halfway up the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, we're going to learn in the next parak, according to the majority opinion, was 10 amas tall. 6 amas up from the ground, it was inset by an amma. The Mizbeach, basically, we're going to talk about in tomorrow's Gemara, Bez Hashem. The Mizbeach was basically built as a bunch of boxes, one on top of the other. Each successive box being a little bit narrower than the previous one. One amma narrower on each side. So you have the second box of it, which forms the bottom. You have the yisoid, you have the base of the mizbeach, it sticks out an amma on all sides. That was essentially a box 32 by 32 amas and one amma tall. On top of that, you had another box which is 30 amas wide and 5 amas tall. The top of that, then you have above that is another box of 3 amas tall and 28 amas wide. That the difference between that second and third one formed an inset, which is called the Soviv. So since over here, with the Chatas, the blood has to be applied to the top half of the Mizbeach, the Kohen wouldn't be able to reach it from the floor, so there needs to be a Soviv. There needs to be this ledge all around from the wall. So he goes from the Kevesh, turns, and onto the Soviv. Now, in the next parak, the Gemara is going to explain, based on Psukim, that when you're turning, you always have to turn to the right. We see that by Hakafis, for example, where we do Hakafis, and we're going to our right, in the sense if you're standing and if you're facing towards the bima, then you're going counterclockwise, you're constantly moving to your right. The Kohen walking around on his bear has to do the same thing. Therefore, when he turns to the Soviv, over all other can during this Mizrachos, the first corner of the Mizbeach that he's going to reach is going to be the southeastern corner. Because again, if he comes up from the south and then turns right, then he's going to be heading east. So now he comes, first to the southeastern corner and places the blood on that corner. Mizrachis Tzfonis, then he continues walking along, walking towards his right, facing towards the Mizbeach, and he reaches the northeastern corner, Tzfonis Ma'arovis, the northwestern corner, Ma'arovis Dronis, and then the southwestern corner. Shire Hadama Yishofa Chayosid Jeremis. And then he would pour the remainder of the blood onto the Yisoid on the southern side of the Mizbeach. Whatever the word Jeremis over here with the Sof, Tosfos Yomtiv points out, really the word Yisoid and the word Keren are Lashon Zachar, but in effect what you have is an implied word Ruach. Yeah, in our Siddur, the Alter Rebbe put it, you had the Keren, we did have in feminine form, Jeremis Mizrachis, etc., because really, Keren Ruach, it's the Keren that is on the corner, that's on the side of Jeremis Mizrachis, Mizrachis Tzoynis, and the word Ruach can be construed as Lashon Nekeva. Here, when it says the Yisrael, same idea, although the Alter Rebbe in our Siddur has over here, Yisrael Jeremis. Anyway, it's Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, by the way, how the Koyan would reach there. Now, he's on top of the Yisoid. Again, he's 6 amas above the ground. How is he getting down from there? Rashi learns that he would have to then go all the way back around the Mizeach. Now, like this, the Gemara mentions in the next Perek that besides the main ramp of the Mizeach, there was also a smaller ramp that branched off it and went up to the Soviet. The regular ramp, the big ramp of the Mizeach, goes up until 9 amas off the ground, so the person can, so the Kohen can walk onto the top of the Mizeach from there. But then there would be a smaller ramp, a smaller, narrower ramp from there that would go until only 6 amas off the floor, and that's how he'd get to the Soviet. Rashi learns that there was only on that side, so therefore after he's finished putting the blood of the Chatas on four sides, he'd have to go all the way back around the Mizbeach to where he started, come down that small ramp, and then go down the main ramp onto the floor, and then he'd walk over to the southwestern corner and pour out the Shirayish. Tosfos learns that there was actually a second small ramp on the other side so that he could descend from the Sozov using that and go directly down to the Yisoid rather than having to go all the way around back around. So he would do that. He would pour it on the Yisoid Jiroimi. We'll see in the Gemara why that for that side. As far as the meat of the korban, it is eaten within the ployim. Ployim means curtains in the basement. In the Mishkan, they had curtains surrounding the chotzer in the basement. Mishkan, they had walls. This is one of the things where it says that the wording of our, the wording of the Mishnayos in our parak reflects the way it was. It reflects halacha Moshe Sinai, because in Moshe Rabbeinu's times they had ployim. So it's eaten within the koyim, lezichre kohona, specifically by the male koyim, b'chol machol, in any way of preparing it and eating it, meaning unlike the korban pesach that we're going to learn at the end of the perek, which has to be roasted, here they can eat it however, here they can prepare it, they can cook it or prepare it however they like. They have a day and a night until chatzos to eat it, namely the day that the korban was brought, the following night, because when it comes to kodshim, we have a concept called halayla holach achra yoyin. When it comes to most areas of halacha, we say hayoyin holach achra halayla. The night comes first, then the day. And the Gemara phrases it, first we have darkness, then we have light, like by Ma'aseh Bereishis, by Erev, and then by Yibotir. But when it comes to Korbanos, there we have first the day, and then the night follows it. There's different explanations why it should be so. There's actually a mimer, there's a mimer from the Rebbe Maharash that talks about the idea that when it comes to matters of kodshim, what we're doing is when it comes to kodshim, what do we mean that in one way in which the night comes after the day in kodshim is that leftover pieces of the korban can be burnt all night on the fire of the mizbeach. So that represents that you take the fire of enthusiasm and excitement for Yiddishkeit and for Avodas Hashem and illuminate even the dark night with it. The Rebbe talks about in a similar vein, but expanding on it, you have the Avoida, regular Avoida that we do working with the world. There we start with the darkness of the night, and we transform it into the light of the day, and therefore the night comes first. Whereas when it comes to Kodshim, it's the other way around. We're taking the light of El Akos and bring it down into the world to the extent where it has an effect even on the following night. So they can eat the Chatos then the night after the Korban is brought until Chatzos. Rashi learns based on the Mishnah at the beginning of Brachas that that's midirabbanon. In order to keep a person away from Avera. If it weren't for that, a person could actually eat until Alois Hashachar. But because then at that point it would become noiser, then the Chachamim made a halacha and said that you can only eat it until Chatzos. So there are different opinions about that, whether in fact the limit of Ad Chatzos is by all Korbanos is Daraisa, or whether by all of them is Dirabbanon, or whether maybe by some of them it's Daraisa. And also there's a Machlokas, does that apply? Points out elsewhere that it doesn't apply, that Rashi points out in Brachas, it doesn't apply to burning the parts of the korbanos. Those, in fact, they can do all night, but so we're talking strictly about the eating of it. Rashi, by the way, brings the point over here that only the male kohenim can eat it because the pasuk says that hakohenim chate oisa yechlana, the kohen who was involved in bringing the korban and applying the blood to the mizbeach is the one who can eat it. Applying only, it doesn't mean dafka that particular kohen. It means any kohen who's capable of doing that, meaning that he's not chame and whatever. And since women kohen can't do the avodah, then nor can they eat from the chatos. The first shouldn't discuss why Rashi needs that. The pasuk quite clearly says by the chatos that only the males can eat it. One point is the Gemara mentions throughout the Masech, the shana of akos lachet, you have to have in order for something by kodshin to be ma'akev, that it has to be that way, and if not, then it's fossil, it has to be repeated. So therefore, we actually need two different psukim. So one way of looking at it would be, we actually need two different psukim to teach us that only the males can eat it. Okay. So the Gemara says, heichi oven. When we're talking about that he puts the blood on the corners, how exactly does he do it? We know that it means he dips his finger into the basin of blood and applies it to the corner. But how exactly does he do it? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar argue what he does. Chad Amar Nosim Ama Elach Va'Ama Elach. One says that he doesn't dafka have to put it on the exact corner of the Mizbeach. Now, we have to realize, let's think a second how the Mizbeach was built. You have these three boxes, kind of, one on top of the other. Then you have that brings you to the height of the surf of the top surface of the Mizbeach, which is 9 amos off the ground. Then in the four corners, in the four corners, you have four box-shaped things sticking up, one more amma. Those are called the kruvos. So now we can look at, you have, there's applying the blood to the actual box itself, and Tosfos discusses later on that the Gemara is going to mention later on that those boxes were hollow. Rashi seems to understand later on that the purpose of that was that the blood should be able to dribble into it, which would imply that he actually puts the blood on the inside of that box. Tosfos says that's not. He does it on the outside of it. So why they're hollow, then Tosfos doesn't say. In any case, you can place it on that actual box on the side or on the corner of it, or you can have, then further down from there, you have the walls of the Mizbeach, and then you have, there's a corner where the two walls meet. That can also be called, that the Gemara calls Chodesh Shokeren, the sharpness of the corner. So here, so between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, Chadam and Noisin Amma Elach Va'Amma Elach. You don't have to do it Davka on the corner. You can do it as much as an Amma in either direction. The first point out, by the way, it would have to be, let's say, for example, by the southeastern corner. Let's say he did it, he didn't do it exactly on the corner. Let's say he did it Davka on the south side. Maybe he would have to be careful when he gets to the next corner. Or let's say he did it dafka on the eastern side. Maybe he would have to be careful when he gets to the next corner, the northeast corner. Maybe he has to be careful to do it dafka on the north, and the same thing with all the other ones. Otherwise, you're going to wind up with two applications on the east and none on the north, for example. They discuss whether that's necessary. Anyway, so he could do that as much as an amma in each direction from the keren. One point is because the keren itself is an amma by an amma, so therefore at least he's putting it someplace on the keren. V'chad Omer, the other one between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, says v'chate v'yorid kinen chudish okeren. He actually goes and daubs the blood and applies it on the sharpness of the keren, meaning on the actual corner where the two walls of the mizbeach meet. Now the Gemara points out. I'll leave it now. Now within this, there's a machlokas tanoim that relates to this. I'll leave it to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. If you follow Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. If you follow Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, which the Gemara is going to quote soon, the Omahi Atma in a Nasas Elabas Gufa Shokeren, where he holds that the blood dafka has to be applied to the actual keren, the actual protrusion of one amma by one amma on each of the corners, well then to kula amma le pligi, well then there'd be no argument. That then there's no way that, so then Rashi explains, everybody would agree you don't dafka have to do it on the corner of that keren, because as long as you do it someplace on the keren, and the keren is a box, an amma by an amma, so according to that way of looking at it, as long as you do it someplace within an amma of the actual corner, then you're good because you're doing it someplace on the keren. Kipligi, I'll leave it to Rebbe. The machlokas would be dafka within Rebbe's opinion, which the Gemara is going to quote soon. Rebbe says further on that the blood does not have to be applied to the keren at all; it just has to be applied to the top half of the mizbeach. So now the machlokas would be Marsover. So now of the two Amiroyim, we said Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lazar, one holds Ama Elach va'Ama Elach k'neged Kerenu. Listen, as long as you're doing it within one Ama of the corner of the place where the two walls meet, and you're doing it on the top half and the back, you are below the Keren, because again, the Keren is an Ama by an Ama. The Keren is an Ama by an Ama box that sticks out on that corner of the Mizbeach, on the top of the corner of the Mizbeach, and therefore, when you're doing within an Ama of the actual corner, the place where the two walls meet, then you're doing it below the Keren, and that's good enough. Omar Sava, where the other opinion holds, can get Chudain Tfeilo. You have to do it Dafka on the actual corner, on the sharpness of the corner where the two walls meet, according to Rebbe's opinion. But if you do more than that, if it's further away from that, then no. It's under the Keren, but that opinion would hold. Listen. Fine, the Torah is not insisting that you do it on the kronos, on those protrusions themselves, but you have to at least do it on the keren, namely the corner where the two walls meet. So according to that way, you would have to do, according to that way of looking at it, you would have to do it there, and if you did it anywhere further away from that, on one of the side walls of the Mizbeach, then according to that way of looking at it, it would in fact be possible. So the Gemara says, Mesvi. Then I have a contradiction that you're telling me that it can be an Amma in each direction from the corner. A Braisa explains in more detail how the Chatas is done. Chatas at Tzibur vayochin Ketzad. How does the Kohen do the Avodah with the Chatas of the Tzibur? As we said, the Korbanos of the Chatas of Rosh Chodesh and of the Yom and of each of the Yom Tovim and of the Yochid, the Korban of the King, the Korban of a regular person, etc. Ketzad Matam Domon. How is the blood applied to the Mizbeach? Hoya Oyla Lakevesh. So as we said in the Mishnah, the Kohen would go up onto the main ramp of the Mizbeach. Ufana Lasoiv, and he would turn towards the Soviv, because as you said, you have a little ramp over there that goes on an angle off the main ramp and reaches the Soviv. Uvola the Kohen Dremis Mizrachis, he comes to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, because as you said, when he goes from the ramp, which is the south side, and then turns east, then the first place that he reaches is the southeastern corner. The Tovel Betzboi Hayimonis, at that point he dips his right finger into the basin of blood, and which finger? Hamumenis should be Yamin. Specifically, the most widely used mumenis means like the strongest and the most usually used for work of the fingers, namely the index finger. When you think about it, when you want to do something with your fingers, your index finger is the one you almost naturally use. So that would be the one that he uses. I mean, mumenis should be Yamin, the one that's most used to working on the right hand. So the index finger. So he uses a dips that min adam shel mizrach. He dips that into the blood that's in the basin. V'choymer v'gudlo milamayla uvetz boy ktana milamata. Then he is choymer, and we'll talk in a second what choymer means, with his thumb above and with his little finger below. Now what does that mean? There are a couple of explanations what the word choymer means. Rashi explains that it means that he squeezes them together. He squeezes his index finger between those other two fingers, because you want to force as much as possible of the blood in the finger onto the Mizbeach. So like this, he squeezes it with two fingers on both sides of it so that all the blood will come off. Another way of understanding it is that it means, since, as the Bryce is going to go on to say, he's doing it along the corner. He's doing it along the corner where the two side walls of the Mizbeach are coming together. Then he uses the fingers on either side of his index finger like to brace it. So he'll have, in other words, let's say he's on the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach, the first corner that he's at. So he'll have his index finger will be exactly along that corner, running down that place where the south and eastern walls meet. Then he'll have his thumb will be on the south side to brace it, and a littler finger, not necessarily his little finger as in the fifth finger of his hand, it can mean a littler finger as in his middle finger, will be on the other side, on the eastern wall, bracing it from that side, so that he's able to go straight down, over there, and not accidentally turn to one side or another. Anyway, Ad Shemachala called Dam Shebe'etzva. So he does that. He keeps on daubing the blood onto the corner of the Mizbeach until he's used up all the blood that's on his finger. if there's any blood left at that point, the Rambam adds a point, which is not here in the Gemara, which we learned earlier in the Masechta, that he'll wipe the rest of it on the edge of the Mizra, and then go to the next corner and repeat the process for all the other corners, because we've learned before that if he dips his finger for the application of blood in one place, the blood that's left on his finger is possible for a different application, so therefore every time he has to wipe it off, so most of it he wipes onto the Mizbeach itself, he daubs onto the Mizbeach itself, but if there's any left that he couldn't easily get onto the Mizbeach, then he just wipes it on the corner of the Mizra. So the Brice continues. Okay, called Karen the Karen, and the same thing with each other coin. So now we said before like this. Within the opinions of the Tanoim, which the Gemara is going to now bring in another Braisa in a second about that, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, you certainly don't have to put it on the actual corner where the two walls meet. So therefore, of necessity, this Braisa is according to Rebbe. And then, though, the Braisa is clearly saying that he has to do it on the actual corner, whereas according to, we had the Machloikas now, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, where it comes out that one of them holds that even according to Rebbe, you don't have to do it at the corner, you could do it as much as an amma in each direction away from there. And yet the Braisa is saying he has to do it down along the place where the two walls meet. So then that contradicts the opinion that says that he could do it an amma in each direction. And the answer is, the Gemara says that's not a problem. Chokhi karmar, what the Tana means to say, mitzvah b'choda. The proper way, the mitzvah of applying the blood, is that you do it along the actual sharpness of the corner where the two walls meet. If he did it as much as an amma away from the actual corner, then it would still be pasha. So he should be doing it by the corner, and that's what the Braisa is saying. And when the Gemara had first started by asking Heichi Ovid, how should he do it? So the Gemara had assumed that each of them is saying l'chatzchila what you could do. Now we're saying, explains the Yad David, that now the Gemara is saying, on the strength of the Braisa that we just quoted, that no, at least according to Rebbe, the Machloikas is not whether you can do either of those l'chatzchila, and either one is exactly just as good, but rather whether it's b'dieved good enough if you did it an amma away from the corner. According to one opinion, even Rebbe would say that it's fine, and according to the other opinion, it's fine, even b'dieved. According to one opinion, it's fine, b'dieved, if you did it that way. And according to the other opinion, no. Rebbe is insisting it has to be on the corner, and it cannot be one amma in either direction. There's quite a bit of discussion among Mephoshim about different possibilities. Different possibilities of understanding what exactly the different opinions are and what the halacha would be. One interesting thing they make the point is that here we're talking about, this is again within Rebbe's opinion, where the Gemara is now going to quote Rebbe as saying that as long as the blood is on the top half of the Mizbeach, then basically you're fine, and then within that you have, does Rebbe mean specifically on the corner, or does he mean within an amma of the corner? But that's, as we're going to talk about in a minute, the outer Mizbeach, which is what we're dealing with over here, has a chota sikra, has a red line marking the top half from the bottom half. The Mizbeach HaPnimi does not. So the Mephoshim will point out that when it comes to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, we wouldn't have this leeway. There, taka has to be on the actual corner where the two walls of the Mizbeach HaPnimi meet, because otherwise you can't really say that you're dafka doing it on the top half, because there's nothing to mark off specifically the top half from the bottom half. So there's discussion about that. Tosfos discusses that later in the Masechta. So the Gemara says, my Rebbe or my Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon. Where do we see Rebbe's and Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon's respective opinions? So the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Domim ha'oyonim, blood that goes on the top half of the Mizbeach, which is a chatas behema and an oila sa'oif. The chatas and the oila can be, both of those are types of korbanos that can be brought either from animals or from birds, and you have their opposites in terms of where the blood goes. The blood of a chatas behema goes on the top half, the blood of a chatas ha'oif goes on the bottom half, and with an oila, it's the other way around. The blood of an oila behema goes on the bottom half, the blood of an oila sa'oif goes on the top half. Well, we'll learn about that more in the next parak, Rest Hashem. Anyway, so dom helyonim, blood that has to go on the top half of the mizbeach, nitonin mechuta sikra lemaila, those can be placed on the mizbeach, any place above the chuta sikra, above that red line that marks the midpoint of the height of the mizbeach. Domim HaTachtonim, and as far as blood that has to go on the lower half of the Mizeach, Nitonim Mechut HaSikra or Lamatron, they have to be placed any place below the Chut HaSikra. Divrei Rebbe, that's what Rebbe says. Rebbe Lozab Reb Shimon Omer, Bamed Vam Amorim, Ba'Ola Sa'oit. Rebbe Lozab Reb Shimon says, when is that the case, that the blood from the top half of the Mizeach can be placed anywhere as long as it's on the top half of the Mizeach? Is ba'ola sa'ois. Specifically, when you're talking about an ola of a bird, then the blood can be squeezed onto the mizbeach anywhere. Aba b'chakas behema, but Rebbe Elazar ben Rav Shimon says, when it comes to a chata, she asks ma'ein nasis el aguf v'shokeren, then the actual application of the blood itself has to be dafka done on the body of the keren, which is what we said before, therefore, so it can't be on the whole top half of the mizbeach. According to Rebbe Elazar ben Rav Shimon, he uses the word keren in the sense to mean those protrusions of one amma by one amma that are on top of the mizbeach, and according to him, the blood dafka has to be placed someplace on those. So let's analyze and figure out Rebbe's reason. Rebbe Elazar ben Rav Shimon, Rashi explains that, listen, you know, it seems fairly obvious. The pasuk uses the word keren, and the keren refers to, we do have to realize the word keren does kind of have a double meaning. It means those protrusions of one amma by one amma by one amma on top of the mizbeach, on the four corners, but it also means a corner where two walls meet. But fine, when the Torah describes the mizbeach, it describes that it has chronos, and therefore, it's logical to say that it means that the blood, when the Torah says, by Chathas, the Venos and Arkaunes and Mizbeach, that it makes sense that it has to be put on the Keren as in those box-like protrusions. But the question is, why does Rebbe say that that's not necessary and it can actually be placed any place on the top half as long as we said, and then we said, within that, we had a Macholikas Amiroyim, whether according to him it can be, that he just... The mizbeach that he describes there is basically the same as the mizbeach that was in the first and second Batei Mikdash. The only exception is that the yisoid is taller. And therefore the space until the soiv is shorter than it was by the first and second Batei Mikdash. But anyway, he describes the top half of the mizbeach. He says v'ha-har-el arba amos. The har-el literally means the mountain of Hashem. It refers to the top part of the mizbeach. It refers to the mizbeach in general, but more specifically, it refers to the top half. Arba amos is four amos. Umeho ariel ulamayel of a grammar, and then from the ariel, which is another name for the Mizbeach, it's called Ariel in the Lashon Ari-Kel, the Lion of Hashem, because he had the fire in the first Beis Mikdash anyway, and it'll be in the third Beis Mikdash, was in the shape of a lion. So Meho Ariel Lamaila, from the Ariel and upward, then you have the four Kronis. So it sounds like the Pasuk is saying that the Mizbeach is only four Amos tall, and then you have the Kronis sticking out of it. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Abba Amos Udav? Yeah. What do you mean? The Mizbeach is not four Amos, the Mizbeach is ten Amos tall. And as far as the width, it's 28 amos. It's at the top of the mizbeach. It's 28 amos wide. So where's four amos coming in? So Rav Abba Ba'aba explains it means umokam akronis arba. It means the space of the kronos is four. So what does that mean? Umokam kronos arba havia. What do you mean? The space of the kronos is not four amas. Each one is one amma by one amma. So yeah, if you were to think of it in terms of the total area of square ammage, then yeah, it would be four square amas. But that's not what we mean. That's not what we mean. On each side of the mizbeach, it's one amma by one amma. So fine. What you have is what that results in the top surface in the Zeach is 28 by 28 amas. Once you subtract the Kronos, then you have 26 by 26 amas of empty space on top of the Mizeach. In Masechta Midas, it talks about then within that you have a walkway for the Kohenim of one amma, and then the actual space that's available to burn the Korbanos is 24 by 24 amas. The point is, what do we mean saying that the Kronos take up four amas? Ela Ema, what Rav Abba Ba'aba means to say, Rishus Kronos Arba. The area that's considered lahalacha to be part of the kronos is four amos. We don't mean horizontally, we mean vertically. So the top four vertical amos of the mizbeach are all considered to belong to the kronos. Now, since the mizbeach, that means, in other words, you have the kronos themselves, and then you have an additional rishus of them that extends four amos below that. Now, since the mizbeach is 10 amos tall, then there's your, including the kronos, then you have five amos. That brings you all the way down to the chut ha-sikra. One amma of kronos and four amos below it, which is considered rishus kronos. That is why Rebbe says, based on that pasuk in Yechezkel, which clarifies, again, Yechezkel is not teaching us a new din, he's just clarifying and writing down for us a din that existed before that already, then it comes out, according to Rebbe, the entire five top amos of the mizbeach is considered to belong to the kronos. Therefore, you don't have to put the blood davka on the keren, as in the one amma by one amma protrusion on top of the mizbeach. It's fine to put it below that, and then within that you have the machlokas amiroyim that we said before. Everybody agrees that l'chachila you have to do it taka along the corner where the two walls meet. But if you did it an amma in each direction, if you did it an amma in one direction or in the other, is it kosher b'diavad? That you have the machlokas before. Okay. So we mentioned in this connection the Chota Sikra. So the Gemara says Tanan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Midas. Let's talk about that Chota Sikra. Chotcha Sikra Hoyachodre Be'emsa. There was a line of Sikra that surrounded the Mizbeach. Sikra is a red paint. So they painted a red line around the Mizbeach, in the midpoint of the height of the Mizbeach. So 5 amas up from the ground and 5 amas below the top of the Kronos. And that divided, that separated, that demarcated the area for the blood on the top half of the Mizbeach versus the blood on the bottom half. Again, according to Rebbe, we're talking about both by a Chatas Behema and by an Ola Sa'oif. According to the Balazim of Shimon, we're talking about only for an Ola Sa'oif. The blood has to go on the top half of the Mizbeach. How do you know? Where's the top half? It means above that line. And then with an oilas behema or most other korbanos of behema, as well as for a chatas oif, if it goes on the bottom half, how do you know where the bottom half begins is going to be below the chota sikra? So the Gemara says v'nohani mili. Where do we know that? But there has to be that line painted over there. Amar of Acha by Rav Ktina, because we find by the mizbeach that was made under Moshe's directions in the desert. Shenema, Hashem tells him v'hoisa horeshes ad chatzia mizbeach. Hashem tells Moshe the mizbeach. The Mizbeach HaChitzen that's made in the desert for the Mishkan is going to have a netting, is going to have a copper netting surrounding it. And the pasuk is, V'hoisa reshes ad chatzia mizbeach. That netting should extend until the midpoint of the height of the Mizbeach. So why chatzia mizbeach means that Torah nosim l'chitza, so it means the Torah is giving you a demarcation, l'havdom in dam ma'yonim, the dam ma'yonim, to distinguish between the blood on the top half and the bottom half. So there you have, when you looked at and you saw where that copper netting ended, then you knew that's the point where the top half and the bottom half are separated in the third Beis Mikdash. In all the Batei Mikdash, within in the first and second, and in the third, Shibonim Mehed of Yemenu, where you don't have that netting, then instead you have a line painted around the Mizbeach. Okay. So that's that then. So that's how the blood of the Chatzos is applied to the Mizbeach. Next, the Mishnah had said, Shirei Adam Chula, the leftover of the blood is poured on the Yisod Droidi. Now, in the first two Mishnayos, we said that with the Chatoris HaPnimius, with the Paran Sor of Yom Kippur, and with the Paran Sor of Yom Kippur, and with the Parim and Yisrofim, with Sirim and Yisrofim, there we said the blood is poured on the western side of the Yisod. Here we're saying it's poured on the southern side. So let's talk about why that distinction and where we learn that from. Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says by a Chatas of an individual, El Yisod HaMizbeach, that he should pour the blood. Whatever. The point is, the Torah says that it's to be poured onto the Mizbeach, onto the Yisod of the Mizbeach. Which Yisod? Zeh Yisod Droidi. That refers to the Yisod on the southern side of the Mizbeach. We're going to talk about, beginning on Amud Beis, we're going to talk about the exact configuration, how the Yisod went around the Mizbeach. So there's a part of it towards the south, which is called the Yisod Droidi. So you have to pour there. But the Braisa says, how do you know? Maybe it means the western Yisod. And the answer is, and we would say the Yumad Sosum Minam Fodesh, and we would say a logical reason to that is because since here the Torah doesn't specify, and earlier the Torah does specify a side because earlier in that perek, when it talks about the korbanos, when it talks about the power Kohen Mashiach and the power Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, and it says that the blood is to be poured on the Yisod, Asher Pesach, Oyo Moed, that is in front of the door of the Oyo Moed, which would be the western side of the Yisod, as we learned previously, because the door of the Oyo Moed, then later on, in the Beis Mikdash, the door of the Heichel, faces towards the east, so when you walk out of the door over there, then the first thing you see in front of you is the Yisod on the western side. So there the Torah is specifying that it's to be poured on the western side. So maybe then here, when it comes to an individual's korban, and it just says, oh, Yisod HaMizbeach, without specifying which side, maybe we should derive from that it's also the western side. Amarta, so the answer is no. Rather, you're going to learn it differently. You are going to compare it, but you're not going to compare to tell us what, you're not going to compare to tell us that it's the same side. You're going to compare where he goes to. What we're going to do is we're going to derive what happens when he walks down the kevesh and comes back down onto the floor of the Azara from what happens when he comes out of the Heichel. When he walks out of the Heichel, the first thing he sees in front of him, like we said, is the western side of the Mizbeach, and therefore the western side of the Yisoid. Therefore, we should pour it there. We talked about yesterday, the Pasuk is implying that he should do it right away. We talked about the whole question, is this a general source for the concept of Ein Ma'avir and Al Mitzvahs, or is this a special situation over here? In any case, so as soon as he comes out of the Heichel, he should do it on the first part of the Yisod that he comes to. After he does him in a Kevesh, the Sama Fly, the same thing, when he comes down from the Kevesh, he should be pouring the Shirayim onto the part of the Yisod which is closest to him. Now the Kevesh, as we said before, is on the south side. So when he comes down from the Kevesh, the side of the Yisod that he's going to be, the side of the Yisod that's going to be closest to him is going to be the south side, and therefore that's where he should be pouring the blood. Okay. However, the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Omer, we learn in a Braisa that Rabbi Shmuel says, no, Zevazeh Yisod Ma Ravi. Both this and this, both the Chatoris HaPnimius, where the blood was brought into the Heichel, and now he's pouring the Shirayim on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, and the Chatoris Chitzonius, where the blood was daubed onto the four corners, like we've just been learning, both of them, Rabbi Shmuel says, the blood is poured onto the western Yisod. There's no such thing as pouring onto the southern Yisod, according to him. Reb Shimon Yochai says both of them are poured onto the southern side. So here, our Mishnayos had been saying the difference that by the Chatoris HaPnimius it's on the west, and by the Chatoris HaChitzonius it's on the south, but now you have two other opinions of Tanoim that say that both of them are all kinds are all on the same side. So, now why do they say that? The one who says that both of them go on the western side, fine, we understand. He holds, like we said before, given that by the Chatoris HaPnimius, the Torah specifies as a Pesach Oyel Moed, and that means as soon as he walks out of the Pesach Oyel Moed, he has the western side of the Yesod in front of him. So therefore he says that, therefore it's logical to derive from that, that the same thing, since the Torah doesn't specify by the Chachas HaTzoyna, what side, so we're going to assume it's the same side and therefore also the western one. But why would Rav Shimon ben Yochai be saying that both of them are on the Yisod Jeremi? What is he doing with the Pasuk that says that it has to be poured on the Yisod after Pesach Oyel Moed? The answer is Amar Rav Asi, Kasava Hai Tana, Kulim Yizbeach Betzofen Kori. Because the Tana of this Braisa holds that the entire Mizbeach is in the northern half of the Azara. Now you have like this. The Azara, which would include the Ezra Yisrael, the Ezra Koyanim, and the area of the Mizbeach, and so on and so forth, is 187 Amos north to south, 187 Amos east to west, and 135 Amos north to south. So when it comes to the east-west axis of it, you have 100 amos of it is taken up by the Heichel. Then you have, by the Heichel building, you have 11 amos behind it, so that's 111 accounted for. You have 76 amos in which the Mizbeach is going to be located. The Mizbeach itself is 30, the base of the Mizbeach is 32 amos. Everybody agrees that it was centered within those 76. So you had 22 amos, of which 11 is for the Yisraelim and another 11 for the Kohanim. Then you had the 32 amos for the Mizbeach, and then you had another 22 amos between there and the door of the Olam. Everybody agrees to that. When it comes to the north south positioning though, there is a machloitas. Was the Mizbeach plus the Kevesh takes up 62 amos. The width of the Azara is 135 amos. The Mizbeach plus the Kevesh takes up just under half of the width. Where was the Mizbeach itself located within that? Was it located entirely within the northern half of the Azara, and then the Kevesh would be on the south side, but the actual body of the Mizbeach itself, the squares of the Mizbeach, would all be within the northern half of the Azara? Or would we say that it's in the middle, that it's exactly centered, that the Mizbeach is exactly centered in front of the door of the Olam? Or would we say that the whole Mizbeach is on the south side, that the entire cube of the Mizbeach is located in the southern half of the Azara? In the next paragraph, the Gemara discusses the more details about it, about the different opinions on the subject, but in any case, you have those different opinions. So now, the Tana of our Braisa holds that the entire Mizbeach is located in the northern half of the Azara. So therefore, that means So in other words, so Rashi has two explanations. One explanation Rashi says is that it means, according to that opinion, none of the Mizbeach is actually in a straight line in front of the door of the Heichel. Namely, you have like this. You have the Ulam, you have the entrance way to the Heichel, which had a door 40 amos tall and 20 amos wide. Then you would walk through the Ulam, and the next thing you'd reach is the entrance to the Heichel. That door was 20 amos tall and 10 amos wide. Now, Rashi explains that according to one way of understanding the Gemara over here, if we say kolam mizbeach etzof and koi, it means that the only part of the mizbeach that was actually in front of the door of the heichal would be that one amma of yisoid that stuck out on the southern side. In other words, I can send afterwards a picture of a diagram over here to illustrate, but the point is, according to that way of looking at it, if you were to measure from the wall of the Mizbeach into the Heichel, the only thing you would find the only part of the actual Mizbeach, not the Kedesh, that's in front of the door of the Heichel, would be that one Amma of Yisoid. Therefore, according to that way of looking at it, when you're walking out the door of the Heichel, that's the part of the Yisoid you're going to be encountering first, the corner over there where the Yisoid goes to the south. And therefore, according to Shimon ben Yochai, therefore that would be the side, even for the Chatoris HaPninius, you come out of the Heichel, that's the first part of the Yisod you see, and therefore you would pour the blood over there. Rashi's second explanation is, it means like this. It means that, yes, part of the Mizbeach was in front of the door of the Heichel. The Heichel is 10 amos wide. According to this way of looking at it, when we say Kol Mizbeach B'Dorim Koi, means we split the Azara on the north-south line exactly in half. The wall, the end of the Yisoid of the Mizbeach is exactly along that midline. So it comes out, therefore, that since the door of the Heichel is 10 amos wide, 5 amos of the Mizbeach, 4 amos of the body of the Mizbeach, plus an amma of the Yisoid, are in front of the door. But the point is, therefore, we would assume the person walks out from the middle of the doorway, and therefore, the first thing that he encounters is the southern Yisoid rather than the western. So according to that way of looking at it, then also it means that he encounters the southern Yisoid first. Tosfos discusses based on other Gemaras which of those two opinions seems to fit better with other Gemaras, whether we're saying that only one Amma of the Mizbeach, only the Amma of the Yisoid, was in front of the door, according to this opinion, that the entire Mizbeach was in the north, or whether there were 4 Ammas of the body of the Mizbeach plus 1 Amma of the Yisoid. In any case, according to that way of looking at it, when you come out of the Heichel, then the first thing you see is the southern Yisoid. The Shittim Kabetis actually has a long discussion on the question. According to the second explanation, why does a person necessarily have to walk out the exact middle of the doorway? What if he walks out towards the southern part of the? What if he walks out towards the southern half of the doorway?
You just set up a little space for the mother to nurse. Are you able to move to a different area? Maybe just closer to here. She just needs a separate private area.
Yeah, give me one place. So the Shittim Kubetis brings up a point. Wait a minute. I mean, does a person necessarily walk out after the exact middle of the doorway? What if he walks out in the southern half of the doorway? Then he has, according to this way of looking at it, he would have the western part of the Yisoid in front of him. So the Shittim Kubetis talks about further possibilities that given that according to this way of looking at it, most of the Yisoid Ma'arabi is not in front of the door, then therefore we can't really call that it's the first thing that he encounters. Yes, according to that way of looking at it, you do have a few amas of it in front of the door, but nevertheless, that's not, most of it is not in front of the door, and therefore you can't call that. Whereas according to the opinion that the Mizbeach is centered in the Azara, or that it's more to the south, then you have, fine, but it's true, not all of it is in front of the doorway. Of course not, because the Yisoid it's 32 amas long, and the doorway is only 10 amas wide, so of necessity, most of it is not going to be in front of the door either way, but at least you have, according to that opinion, that the only side that you see when you come out of the door is going to be the western side, and therefore you would put it like that. So this explains Rav Shimon Yochai's opinion. If we say that the entire Mizbeach is located in the northern half of the Azara, again, depending whether we look at it, that it means that therefore only one Amma of its Yisoid is in front of the door of the Heichel, or whether we look at it that there are five Ammas of the Mizbeach, four Ammas in front of the doorway, and meaning you walk out of the doorway, the first thing you encounter is the southern one, then that would explain Rav Shimon Yochai's opinion. Lishna Achrina, the Gemara says, another way of wording it, Kulei Pesach B'Dorim Koi, that the entire doorway is located in the south. You know, it's basically the same thing. In other words, that the entire doorway, according to that way of looking at it, is south of the Mizbeach, and therefore it amounts to the same thing, that very little of the Mizbeach is in front of the doorway, either only one Amma of it or only five Ammas of it, and therefore we can say that when a person walks out of the Heichel, when the Kohen walks out of the Heichel, the first thing he's going to see is the, according to that understanding, would be the southern Yisod. Okay. The Gemara says, Tonad Rabbi Shmuel Kedav Shimon Yochai. We find a Braisa from the, so here we've been saying that we have this argument. So again, we have a three-way argument where exactly the Shirayim are poured. According to Tana of our Mishnayos, according to the Sam Mishnah, when it comes to Chatzoris HaPnimius, the blood goes on the Shirayim go on the western Yisoid, because that's what he comes, and when he comes out of the Heichel, he sees that first. He does it on the south side, because that's the first corner that he gets to when he comes off the Kedesh. We said, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's both on the western side, and according to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, it's both on the southern side. So the Gemara says, Tonet Rabbi Shmuel, Kedab Shimon Ben Yochai. We find a, or Birab Shimon Ben Yochai, there are different Yosois over here. We find a Braisa from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, who taught like Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. So they learned a braisa that disagreed with their Rebbe and held like Rav Shimon Yochai and said both of them go on the south side. So that's the thing. We have different gersois over here. So let's first deal with the gersois that we have in front of us. There was a version of the braisa that they taught in Rabbi Shmuel, in Rabbi Shmuel's Beis Medrash, that Rav Shimon Yochai had said, like their Rebbe's opinion, Zevezei Yisod Ma'arovi, that both of them are poured on the western Yisod. So according to that way of looking at it, there are only two opinions. The Tana of our Mishnah that says some south and some west, and the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, which in the version that the Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel learned in their Beis Medrash, Rav Shimon Ben Yochai ends up agreeing with that and says also the Yisod Ma'arovi for both of them. The simonach, and a simon to remember that, is you can think of the phrase, moshu gavri la gavra, the men in plural have pulled the man. So in other words, you have the talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel, who are a plural, they're talmidim in the plural, and they were able to pull along Rabbi Shimon, who's a yochid, to agree with their rebbe. So it comes out according to that Rav Shimon ended up agreeing that's on the western side. Tosfos doesn't like that explanation because later in the Masechta, you have something the other way around. You have Rav Shimon overpowers Rabbi Shmuel and the Gemara says they're the other way around. Mashchinu gavra l'gavri, the one person has pulled the majority. So what kind of a simon is that? A simon needs to be something that you're going to be able to remember easily. If in one place you have the majority overcame the yochid, and in a different place the yochid overcame the majority, then you don't really have a simon at all. You're not going to remember. Rather, Tosfos explains that no, the correct girsa would be over here, that Tonad Ve Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Shmuel's Talmidim had a girsa of the Braisa that said, Zevezei Yisod Droimi, where this Braisa then disagrees with the opinion that we said before, that their Rebbe Rabbi Shmuel had, and said that a new version of the Braisa was in accordance with Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. And what do we mean, Moshu Gavri Lagavra? We mean Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai can be thought of in a way as two people, because he's called by his name and his father's name. So when you refer to his opinion, you're referring to two men, Shimon and Yochai. as opposed to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, of course, had a father, and he is occasionally referred to by his father's name, but here he's not. He was just called Rabbi Shmuel. So therefore, in effect, what you have, the person with the double name overpowered the one with the single name and ended up, say, and therefore, according to the Talmudim of Rabbi Shmuel, their Rebbe with the single name ended up agreeing with Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai with the double name. That it all goes on the Yisod Yireimi. And we have our stand Mishnah that says Jeremy and Ma'arovi respectively, and the Rambam writes it that way in Yana Chazaka. Okay. The Mishnah continues, for Oila, a Korban Oila, Kodshe Kodshim, it is Kodshe Kodshim, which means, in other words, Rashi says, as far as all the dinim that apply to Kodshe Kodshim, it means that if it's taken out of the Azara, if the meat or the Imurim of it are taken out of the Azara, it's going to be possible. If a Tavur Yom touches it, it's going to become possible. If a Mechusa Kippurim touches it, it's going to be possible. And Me'ilo would apply to it. Tosfos points out that actually some of these things apply to Kodshim Kalim as well. So what we can talk about is more relevant is Yotze, because Kodshim Kalim don't become possible by taking them out of the Azara, because after all, they're meant to be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. And Ne'ilah doesn't apply to Kodshim Kalim, it only applies to the Emurim of the Kodshim Kalim. So you have the point is by saying Ha'olah Kodshim Kodoshim, we have to stress that point. Why we need to say that, the Gemara is going to explain why the Mishnah needed to mention that point. Shechitasa Batsofa, and it has to be shechted in the north, like we learned earlier in the Perek, that the Pasuk says that the most explicitly by an ola of a sheep, that it has to be shechted in the north, and we said because Yahweh says Ve'im Minatsoin, the Vav tells us that the same thing is true for an ola from cattle. So Shechitasa Batsofa, the Kibbol Dama B'Chli Sharis Batsofa, the receiving of the blood has to be done in a Chli Sharis in the north, again, like we learned there. The damaton shtei maton eshen arba, the blood of it has to be applied with two applications, which are four, which we're going to learn in the Gemara what that means. Basically, what it means is that you do it on two opposite corners of the mizbeach, so that the blood goes on all four sides. We're going to learn in the Gemara machlokas about how exactly that's done. Or to una hefshit, the oila then has to be skinned. Now most korbanos they have to skin enough of it to be able to cut the body cavity of the animal open and remove the emurim. But after that, there's no specific mitzvah to skin it. Later on, of course, when the people are going to eat it, they're going to finish skinning it and then take out the rest of the meat. But by an oila, the pasuk specifically says, v'hifshit es ha'oila, he should skin the oila because they have to take all the pieces after their skin and burn them on the mizbeach. So that's why the Mishnah mentions over here, t'una hefshit. V'nituach, it has to be cut up into pieces, as it says in the pasuk. V'cholim la'ish, in the Sefer Talmud, it describes the exact pieces that it's divided. I don't just do at random. There are certain cuts. There are certain cuts that are done. Each aver, each limb, has to be kept complete. The Mishnah in Talmud describes the details. V'cholim la'ish, and the whole thing is completely burnt on the fire of the mizbeach, because it's an oila. Tosfos points out there's something missing from the mission over here. What happened to the Shirayim? Here we've been talking all the time by the Chakos about the Shirayim and what side they have to be poured on, etc. And we learned previously that all Korbanos, the Shirayim has to be poured on the Yisoid. We learned even, we had the expression, ten Yisoid la'ola, ten Yisoid the Mizbeach shal Oila, that it means that the Oila has to have the Shirayim poured. And here our Mishnah is completely leaving that out. Why is that? So first Tosfos brings from Remosha Mipontoizer. Pontoise, it's a city in France. However it's pronounced. Anyway, so he holds that actually not necessarily is there going to be Shirayim by an Oilo or by most other Korbanos. Why? By a Chakas, as we just learned, he's dipping his finger in and daubing it on the four corners of his Mizbeach. So after he's done with that, of course, there's going to be a lot of blood left, so there's going to be Shirayim to pour. But the Oila, what do we say? He's taking the basin and he's dashing the blood against the corners of the Mizbeach. He takes the basin and tilts it and jerks it so that the blood splashes towards the Mizbeach. Not necessarily, says this Reb Moshe, that after that's done, is there going to be any Shirayim? So therefore, the Mishnah doesn't bother mentioning it. On the other hand, Tosfos says no, because we've always seen throughout this Perek and throughout the Masechta that you are supposed to pour the Shirayim. And we've talked even about before, there are Mephoshim who actually learn that it means you actually have to make sure that some blood is left over in order to be able to do Shirayim. Fine, we said the Shirayim are not active, but you still are supposed to leave some over. So there then Tosfos brings from Rabbi Yaakov from Orleans, another city in France, that All it is once we already mentioned that the Chatoris HaPnimius go on the south side, and the Chatoris Chitzonius are on the west side, and the Chatoris HaChitzonius go on the southern side, then that's it. We don't have to keep repeating it every time. All other korbanos after this, the blood is going to go on the Shiraim are going to go on the south side, and that's that. There's no reason to mention it over and over by each korban. Okay. So the Gemara says, Oyla my time atoni like kodshe kodshim. Why does the oyla? Why by the oyla does it repeat the words kodshe kodshim? Now our parak had begun. Is there only koyim shalz vachim kodshe kodshim shkutasim batzalvim? Then it said, Pyre v'sor sheyim akapurim shkutasim batzalvim. It didn't say Pyre v'sor sheyim akapurim kodshe kodshim shkutasim batzalvim. Similarly in Mishnah Beis where it talks about the porim and siyum and istrachim, it didn't say kodshe kodshim. By the chatos in Mishnah Gimel it also didn't say. Why all of a sudden here in Mishnah Dalet by the oyla does it have to say kodshe kodshim? And the reason is Mishum de like Sibba Lashem Kodshe Kodshimi, because by the Ola it never actually says the words that it's Kodshe Kodshim. By the Chatos it actually says, by the Chatos and by the Oshem it says Kodesh Kodoshim Hu, Kodesh Kodoshim He, Kodesh Kodoshim Hu, whatever. So therefore the Mishnah doesn't have to tell us. But by the Ola it never actually says in the Pasuk in so many words that it's Kodshe Kodshim. Therefore the Mishnah has to, therefore the Tana has to inform us that it is, which again has the implications that Rashi and Tosfos had talked about as far as the differences between Kodshe Kodshim and Kodshim Kalim. Next, we said v'damanton shtematonis. We said the blood has to be applied shtematonis shein abba to the mizdeach. So heichi ovid, how does he do it? Omer Rav noisin v'choizer v'noisin. Now the point is, in other words, again, we have to have two matonis that are going to end up being full. So Rav says noisin v'choizer v'noisin. What you do is you take a keli, you dash some of the blood of it onto one side of the mizbeach near the corner, and then the same thing by the other one. So it comes out now. You have actually done four times. You've splashed out of the keli, but it's shtayim in the sense because the blood merges together by the corner over there. So you have he goes to the southwestern corner. He goes first to the northeastern corner, and he does, and Rav says what he'll do is he'll go and take the basin and splash some of the blood on the north side, close to the corner, and then on the east side, close to that same corner, so it kind of merges together, and then he goes to the southwestern corner and repeats the process. Shmuel says to begin with, by each corner, he does one application. He does one splash of blood, like a gamma. A Greek letter gamma is the same shape as an English letter L. Means, in other words, that he does one splashing of blood so that it goes immediately on both adjacent sides. So he goes to the northeastern corner, he goes exactly in front of the corner and splashes the blood so that some of it goes to the north and some of it goes to the east, and then he goes to the opposite corner, the southwestern corner, and does the same thing. So the Gemara points out Ketanoi. This is not just a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. There was an earlier Machlokas Tanoim that discusses the same point. Now the Pasuk says by an Ola that the blood has to be placed Sovir around the Mizbeach. Now, Yochol Yizrkenu Zrika Achas. Now if it didn't say the word Sovir, you would have thought that you only need one application of blood by an Ola. Talmud Lama Sovir, therefore the Pasuk says Sovir, it has to be all around. Now, e saviv, but if it says saviv, it says that it has to go all around. Yocho yakifenu kachut. You would think maybe that means you have to surround the whole mizbeach with it like a string. Maybe, in other words, what you have to do is how are you going to get blood on all sides of the mizbeach? The pashtus, it would mean that you have to dip in your finger and then daub it along the sides. You walk around the four sides of the mizbeach with the daubing the blood on the wall, and eventually you run out of blood on your finger, and you dip it again, and then continue, and you kind of like paint a line of blood all around the mizbeach. Is that what it means? No, Talmud Lomar v'zorku. No, because the pasuk says v'zorku that they should splash the blood, that literally v'zorku means they should throw the blood out of the mizbeach rather than daubing it with the finger. So what does that mean in other words? So how exactly do we do it? There is an explanation. I mean, the Gemara could have answered, the Braisa could have said, fine, what you do is you do a little splash here, a little splash there, a foot away, another splash a foot away, etc., and you do eventually the whole way around by that. But the Braisa already knows, the Braisa already knows that you need shtei, that you need shtei matronas shtei arba. But maybe it means you have to do that as well as you also need, and maybe you need the zrika, as well as you also need to literally surround the mizbeach with a line of blood, namely by dipping his finger in and dragging it along all along the mizbeach. Note, because it says v'zorku, they throw it, that the finger is not involved at all. Okay, sad. So what does this mean? How do you have soviv and not have the finger? Kamin gamma, as he does, he does the throwing of the blood against the corner, like the letter gamma, like an L shape. The domatone shtei matona shtei naba. So therefore, so the blood requires shtei matona shtei naba. So again, you do it on one corner and it goes on the two sides over there, and you go to the opposite corner and do the same thing. So you've done two applications of blood, but it winds up on all four sides of the mizbeach. That's the Tanakama of that Braisa. Rabbi Shmuel says a way we learn it differently is Nemakan Saviv and Nemalahalan Saviv. Here by the Ola it uses the word Saviv. By a Chatos it also uses the word Saviv. Malahalan Pisuk Va'aramatonis. So Rabbi Shmuel learns differently. Just like by the Chatos over there, there's Pisuk Va'abamatonis. You have four separate applications. Because, again, with the Chatos, we said, he goes to each corner individually and applies the blood. So you don't have any matonis that are something else. You have each one. There's a daubing of blood, and you have four of them altogether. Afkan, the same way, Rabbi Shmuel says, by an oil, a piece of five matonis, there have to be four separate applications. So meaning, like Rav had said, that you have to go to one side close to the corner and throw the blood against the side over there, and then go to the other side of that same corner and repeat the process, and it still comes out. Shtei matonis shtei, it can still be called shtei matonis shtei naba, in the sense that you have two areas of the mizbeach that have blood on them. That are two contiguous areas that have blood on them, but nevertheless it's four separate applications. So we see that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rav, and the Tanakama of the Braisa holds like Shmuel. There are Mishnayos here and there. That Torah, the Mishnah in Tomid specifically mentions doing it by the corner, which would be like Shmuel. The Nitziv points out that Rav might answer. There's a difference between an Oila of a Yochid and the Tzibur. In fact, we're saying over here, Rabbi Shmuel is learning from the pasuk specifically. It says by the miluim, which was a korban of the tzibur. So therefore, we might distinguish between the korban of a yochid and the korban of a tzibur. Rav might agree that with the korban of a yochid, you do only two applications. You splash it against the two corners, but he might hold by a korban tzibur, it's different. So the Gemara continues. So the Gemara asks, wait, E malahalan abmatonas al abakronis. The Braisa continues, according to Rabbi Shmuel, maybe it means the same way as a chatos, it's actually four separate applications on the four separate corners. Afkan abmatonas al abakronis. Maybe it would be the same thing over here. How do you know that it's not, and that it actually means? How do you know that it means? Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, after all, you're not doing all four corners. You're only doing the northeastern and the southwestern corner are going to have blood on them. Even according to him, the other two corners are not having blood, unlike by a chatas, where every corner has blood on it. So why not, if you're comparing it to the chatas? Amarta, so the reason you can't say that, oila tuna yisoid, because the oila has to have the blood sprinkled on a place above the yisoid, as we learned a couple of blocks ago. We learned a kavachomer, where Rabbi Shmuel himself had said a kavachomer, to say that the imadach, the shirayim, have to be poured on the yisoid, how much more so the actual blood, actually how much more the actual application of blood of the oila, which is going to be mechapa, which is going to make the blood, the korban be a kosher korban. The keren dremus mizrachas lahei lo yisoid, the southwestern corner of the mizbeach did not have a yisoid, as the Gemara is going to go on to discuss. Why the southwestern corner did not have a yisoid. So we'll take that up, and we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll talk about the configuration of the yisoid and why it was configured, why it was shaped the way it was, and the shvatim that were involved over there.